This is Average Joe Finances Podcast, episode 59.
If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you smash that like button and click subscribe. For those of you listening on a podcast platform, be sure to subscribe on whatever platform that is and leave us a rating if you can. The more likes, ratings, and subscriptions that we get, the more we can spread the message and grow our community. So we also have a free Facebook group. It's called the Average Joe Finances Network. Check us out, join the group, join the community, ask questions, and become a part of the team. All of our other social media accounts are listed in our flow page, and we have them in the video or podcast description below.
Don't speculate. Stick to your investment plan. If you are going to speculate, do it with money you can't afford to lose. And better yet, it shouldn't be money that was part of your contribution.
Yes.
Welcome to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Are you trying to get out of debt? Invest, or just not sure where to start? Then this is the place for you. We discuss different ways to get out of the rat race and build your wealth. Join us on this wild ride to financial freedom.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? So today's guest is Brandon Lee Young, and he's the co-founder of Passive, a portfolio management tool that's designed to help self-directed investors manage and grow their wealth. Users can build their own personalized indexes, robo-advisory services, and be their household's asset manager. Passive manages over 20,000 accounts on their platform and is helping people manage over $1 billion in assets. Background-wise, Brandon is originally from Trinidad and Tobago, a small twin island in the Caribbean. He migrated to Canada with the goal of becoming an entrepreneur. He worked in tech for a few years to learn how large tech organizations were run. His interest in entrepreneurship stemmed from being passionate about attaining financial independence, and this is what led him to founding a fintech company. So as you may all know, I've interviewed somebody else from Passive, Nick McCollum, in the past, and it was an awesome interview. I'm really excited to talk with one of the co-founders of this company and dig a little more into the weeds. So Brandon, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, Mike. Really looking forward to chatting with you and your audience and, you know, rapping about whatever we're going to rap about today.
All right. Sounds good. I'm not the best rapper, but I'll give it a try. I might be able to give you a beat because I could boombox a little bit, you know, but you know, we'll save that for another time. But hey, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? Like, besides the background that I just gave on you, can you, you know, share your story?
Yeah. So, I guess my story began like years ago in Trinidad. So I always wanted to basically live abroad. My idea was like I'd buy a house in North America and then rent it out and live off of the money that I'm getting paid back in the Caribbean because of basically doing geo arbitraging because of the exchange rates. And so that was like sort of my plan. I'd work in tech, get a nice cushy job, buy maybe an apartment building, and then, you know, rent it out and live off of the rental fees minus whatever I paid to a property manager. That's easier said than done. So anyway, that's sort of like what got me into like investing, because I realized that I could also just buy stocks and live off of the dividend payments. And so that rabbit hole got me interested into FIRE, because basically, you know, that's sort of what the movement does, right? You live off of dividend payments, you save a big cushy nest egg, and you sort of just enjoy life. And so, yeah, that's sort of like how I got into DIY investing. Funny story is like, so at university, there was this course called value investing. And so I thought that maybe not only could I find dividend stocks, but undervalued stocks that would appreciate. It turned out that too was also easier said than done, because you got to spend a lot of time doing fundamental analysis on companies. And it's basically a full-time job finding undervalued companies. And not only are you spending time doing the research, but you're using models and spreadsheets that you've got to tweak and keep up to date. And it just wasn't for me in the end. So when I graduated, I just worked in tech and followed a simple index, a tree fund index portfolio. And, you know, I basically used that, but even then that became really problematic because of the fact that I had to use the same spreadsheets again, and although to a lesser extent, it still meant that I had to keep my spreadsheet up to date, hide from my boss on a Friday afternoon to place trades at my broker just to balance a simple tree fund ETF portfolio. And so that sort of sucked, to say it bluntly. And yeah. That's what really led us to Found and Passive, myself and my co-founder Brendan Wood. He also was doing the same thing, and him and I were chatting one day and were lamenting about having this sort of problem. And I'm not even though I worked in tech, I'm not a developer. I more worked in customer success. And so when he told me he could build this thing that would help us to automate our portfolio, and in fact, that sort of got me sort of like curious, and blah, 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 the rest is history. Went on to Found Passive. So yeah.
All right. So you immigrated here from the Caribbean, right? And okay, actually, first off, is it Caribbean or Caribbean?
The islands, man.
The islands. I live on some islands. I live on an island right now too. So
yeah,
in Oahu.
Oh no, you can say Caribbean. Caribbean. Okay. I never thought about it. I guess it depends on your accent, but yeah, we just say the Caribbean.
All right, sounds good. All right, so you immigrated to Canada, and your whole thing is you wanted to be an entrepreneur. And you wanted to do your own thing. So you started going to school right when you went to university, and you were trying to figure out how to do this. And the biggest thing you noticed that to invest in any type of portfolio, it took a lot of research, and that research takes a lot of time, right? And you realized that you didn't just have like this insane amount of time to be able to do this research. So you guys put together this, you know, this website or this tech company called Passive. Right. And from what I understand, from what I know of it, from the last time I talked to Nick, you know, it balances your portfolio for you. So can we talk about that a little bit? Like how does somebody that is trying to, you know, they're a DIY person and they want to manage their own portfolio, how does this benefit them?
Yeah. So like basically you don't have to use a spreadsheet, right? So like if you're following a portfolio that consists of international equities, Canadian equities, and bonds, and you want to keep it all balanced, then you're using a spreadsheet to basically help you calculate the trades you need to place based on the money you're allocating every month. And so, like folks in the FIRE movement, I'll use them as an example, because like presumably you're saving as much money as possible every month. And so every time you got to allocate cash, what are you going to do? You're going to have to break open your spreadsheet and input data to figure out, well, how many trades of ETF one I need to buy to keep my portfolio balanced. And so basically the benefit to Passive is really saving you time, but also giving you that ability to click a button and have your money invested against the target portfolio you're trying to follow. And so that's really the main benefit. I basically imagine like not never having to log into your broker and navigate through all of those pains just to place a trade, right? Like you've got to tab into trading, key in the assets you want to place, put in the number of shares if you're using a market order or a limit order. Like there's a lot of friction that goes involved that's involved in balancing your portfolio, just placing a trade. So like what we do is we just make it super simple that someone can click a button, have their cash allocated to their target portfolio, or have your portfolio rebalanced. But like what I really, really think about Passive that's cool is that someone that's just getting started has an option. They can, not an option as a stock option, but an option to invest on their own and save on all the fees that you typically pay to an asset manager. So like in Canada, we pay about 2%, a 2% management fee on mutual funds. And like, that's wild, wow. Right? Like if you think about it, right, like that's a lot of money, and that money could be used to help your money grow or, you know, help you hit your FIRE number faster. So it's
Well, especially over a long period of time, 2%, that's going to add up.
Man, it compounds, it adds up. And like, you don't even have that control and sovereignty over your money, because you're giving it to some fat cat that's really rich off of you. And like, it, anyway, it just didn't sit well for me. So what I like about passive is that it helps the folks that are already doing DIY investing to do it, but it also makes it easier so that younger folks or folks that want to take control of their finances can do it and save a ton of money if they want to. And so I like robo-advisors. I think they're great. They're certainly cheaper than mutual funds here in Canada. But the thing that I've always had a hard time squaring up is, am I going to pay a percentage of my net worth to an algorithm just to balance my portfolio? To me, it just didn't seem like an option. And so I just wouldn't do it. But that's where I think passive comes in, because if you are someone that knows what you want to invest in, you are fee conscious, and if you want to like invest for the long haul, you can just use passive and you're not paying a scaling fee and you still get that functionality as you would if you were with a robo-advisor. Of course, the big difference is we don't tell you what to invest in and help you with asset allocation. Like, you've got to be a bit of financially woke to use passive. And so I think we're solving a pain for folks that are more financially woke and want to be more involved in their investments, but not necessarily do those tedious things that you would do using a spreadsheet to help you keep stuff balanced.
Right. Yeah. I like how you put that, like financially woke, right? Because it's not like, you know, somebody who's never invested before, this is probably not the best thing for you to use. You need to learn what you're doing first, learn what kind of assets you want to be in, you know, what type of, you know, do you want growth? Do you want, recurring dividend payments? You need to figure out what is it that, you know, you want to invest in. So passive is there for the folks that, you know, kind of have a good grasp of what they're doing with their investments, but it makes it simple because you know what your plan is, right? And it sounds like all you got to do is click one button and it rebalances your portfolio for you to, you know, right where you need it to be for your target.
Yeah. And so like what's also cool is that like you could be your family's asset manager. So like my co-founder, who's also named Brendan. So like he had like six accounts that he's managing, right? So if you think my spreadsheet's complicated, his spreadsheet would have been off the chain just because of the amount of accounts and assets that are in them. And so what passive allowed him to do was just like combine all of those accounts into one holistic portfolio and balance across all of them. Or you could take each of those accounts that you have and then create separate portfolios with different asset allocations. And the best part is again, you're not paying a fee. You're seeing everything in one spot. You're clicking a button and having passive do that thing for you. And so it's really empowering from that point of view. And It's really helpful for folks that are really, like I said, really in tune with their family's finances. And we even have an older user. I say older, not to be derogatory or anything like that, but like someone that's a bit basically is in retirement. And so she reached out to the team and she's like, I have some questions. I'd like someone to speak to me. And so when her and I hopped on the phone, we found out that this person was in retirement, heard about passive, and they wanted to use passive to help them balance. So I thought that was pretty cool because, you know, like someone, most people say, oh, investing is hard. And, you know, if you don't know anybody, you should give it to a professional. But this lady, she understood what we were doing and she just clicked that button. She said, I love your service, young man. Like, you're helping me a lot. And I was like, that's awesome, you know, like, please reach out.
That's awesome because like when someone's in retirement now and they're relying on what they have invested to live off of, right? So it's important that, you know, the service that you all are providing makes it that much easier for her, that it's just with the click of a button, she rebalances her portfolio to where she's comfortable in retirement, right?
Yeah. And I think that's like, I see it on the other side too, because like I have this friend that, so he was investing with a popular robo-advisor here in Canada. And so he got the bright idea to take his robo-advisor's model portfolio and basically replicate it by opening a brokerage account and using passive. And so he was doing it for some time, and he sends me an email saying, "Man, I really like passive, but I'm trying to understand like why your performance is different to what I'm seeing at my RoboAdvisor. Like why is it that the numbers, even though we have the same portfolio, like I have the same portfolio in both my RoboAdvisor and passive, like why is there a difference in the two in the amounts?" And I'm like, "Well, friend, it's because you're saving on the fee that you would be paying to a RoboAdvisor." And he was like, "Oh."
yeah, that fee, like you said, 2% in Canada. I mean, so compound interest goes both ways, right? If you're paying 2% on every time you're moving your assets around, you know, or your allocations, I mean, that's definitely going to add up. So how does passive make money? Like what if you guys aren't charging a fee, how do you guys do it?
Yeah, so we just charge a yearly flat fee to get access to our premium features. So users who are passive elite, that's sort of what we call it, you can use our one-click trades feature. It's one of the most popular features. You can use our asset classes feature. You can use we have this new feature that we built that lets you specify the accounts you want your assets to be purchased in. So it helps people do tax-efficient investing. And so basically, we just make money off of selling subscriptions and not necessarily like holding people's assets and like charging a management fee. And I just want to clarify one thing. It's that RoboAdvisors in Canada are a lot cheaper than 2%. I believe they charge like 50 basis points plus the cost of the underlying ETF. So all in, you're about, I think, 75 basis points versus like if you took a few low fee ETFs, like I think some of the Vanguard and BlackRock ones are really, really dirt cheap, like below 10 basis points. You could build a really cheap, broadly diversified ETF portfolio that's gonna come in under 20 basis points and not have to pay any sort of scaling fee to a financial advisor or mutual fund. So yeah, I just wanted to clarify that point.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so it sounds like though where you save your money is that you know it's a flat fee, right? It's a flat subscription fee. It's not going to vary based on, you know, how much you're trading, how often you're trading, or anything like that, right? There's no limits to how often you can, rebalance your portfolio or anything, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's you use it as much as you want, and you can connect as many accounts to your passive account as well. So you take for example someone that has, you know, they're managing their household's wealth or maybe their parents' wealth as well, and so you can all get them in under one passive elite subscription and just manage it all within passive.
Oh, wow. So multiple accounts you can have in there under one passive subscription. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. So like I use my mom's brokerage account. I manage my wife's brokerage account and my brokerage account. So my passive dashboard looks like insanely long because of all of the accounts that I have. And I think there's like one person on our platform, he's like managing like maybe 20 accounts, and like that's kind of interesting.
Now for all those accounts, can you allocate them differently, or do they all have to be like the same kind of asset allocation?
Oh no, you can like let's say I had Mike, if I had your account in my passive dashboard, I can give you an 80-20 asset allocation to VU and a Vanguard bond ETF, and I can do a different one for my accounts as well. So it's really,
okay,
really
wow. That's even better than I thought then, because I thought, you know, it's like, oh, everybody be under the same plan. So whenever you rebalance or anything like that, everybody goes back to the same, and it's not, you know, okay. That's good that everybody can be different based off of, you know, like, so you manage it, you said, for your mother and your wife, right? So if your mother wants to do something a little bit different than what you're doing, she doesn't have to worry about every time you go to rebalance the portfolio that it's going to move her stuff to look like yours.
That's correct. And
you're probably investing a little more riskier than she is, right? Because you're younger And she, you know, usually as you get older, you're a little more risk adverse.
Yeah. So my mom's, it's interesting. My mom, she's all about taking that risk. And so like the way she looks at it is like, I will inherit whatever she has. And so if it's about building intergenerational wealth, then why have a portfolio that's super, super conservative that wouldn't really earn her much? So she's like, well, let's take some risk and see where that goes.
No, that's great. That's awesome, man. Okay. So we're talking a lot about passive and what it is you guys do, and it's fantastic. I'm learning a little bit more. Like, this is stuff I didn't really talk to Nick too much about. Like, we kind of went over like Wavetop stuff. So this is a little more in depth. So I'm having fun with this, and this is pretty exciting. But you, so let's talk about Brandon Lee Young here for a second, right?
Sure.
And so Brandon, what is it that, you know, you personally are doing on your journey to or in financial freedom? Because you brought this up a couple times now, right? The word financial independence, and actually even the FIRE movement, financial independence, retire early. I'm actually wearing that shirt.
Maybe that's why I'm talking about it, because I'm seeing your shirt so much. Yeah. But
so what is it that you're doing, like, in your own investing and like your own strategy to get yourself to financial independence?
Let's take a brief moment to hear from our show sponsors. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about the podcast editing service that we use for the Average Joe Finances podcast. That is editpods.com. And what I really like about them is it's a subscription-based service, so the prices are fantastic. And not only do they do the podcast episodes for us, but they also make us videos, audiograms, social media caption videos. They do our show notes, thumbnails. It's just fantastic products. Go check them out at editpods.com. What's going on, everybody? So today I want to talk to you about Buzzsprout. The Average Joe Finances podcast recently switched over to Buzzsprout, and I got to say, I am super happy with the progress. Our podcast is now on every single major platform and reaching audiences that we couldn't reach before, which is just super awesome. So thank you to Buzzsprout for being such a great platform. But also I want to say, hey guys, if you sign up for Buzzsprout and you sign up for one of their paid plans using our link, you'll get a $20 Amazon gift card. So go check them out. It's averagejoefinances.com/Buzzsprout, and we'll make sure the link is in the show notes below.
Let's get back to today's episode.
You're listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast. Whether it's single or multifamily real estate, the stock market, or side hustles, we discuss it all. Strap in and enjoy the ride.
You know what? I have to be honest with you. I'm prone to chasing shiny objects. So for me, it's all about sticking to that plan that I've got. Like, for example, like GameStop, like, you know, I was tempted to get in Bitcoin, like I hold speculatively, but that's just fear of missing out. But I'm like playing with money that I don't mind losing or speculating with. The large majority of my assets are in index funds, and so I continuously contribute to my portfolio. But if I save extra money, instead of like dumping it into the index fund, I'd take some and I'd allocate it into speculative bets. So I sort of like force myself to say, okay, Brandon, if you want to make a speculative bet, then you got to pay to have the right to make that speculative bet. So I would cut my spending in a certain area. Like maybe I wouldn't go out for a bit. For the past year, that wasn't a problem because we were all like locked down under COVID, right?
Right.
So I saved a lot of money and knock on wood. I had money, right. And so I just allocated it into a few speculative bets. And so I invested in GameStop. It sucked. I lost. Yeah, I lost. I thought we were going to the moon, and I ended up holding the bag. I did invest in Bitcoin and Ethereum. So, you know, I'm seeing those things as more long-term speculative holdings that could be interesting. So like, I don't really care if it goes down or up, but to really, really speak to it, if I had to summarize it, is have a plan, stick to it. If you're going to speculate, don't speculate with the money that you're trying to save towards your plan. Like, find that money in some sort of a side pocket that, you know, like you sort of like save extra for by not spending. And then you can, maybe use that money for your speculative stuff. Although, like, some would argue, well, why don't you just contribute it to your index fund, which probably you should do too. But like, I just like to speculate a bit more. And so, So I'm fine with whatever I lost, but the point is just stick to your plan and don't like deviate or gamble with stuff that, you know, can't afford to lose.
You know, you said don't deviate or gamble, right? But that's exactly what speculations are, right? It's a gamble. And you said it right the first time, right? When you were saying, oh, you know, I put these in as a bet, right? Because that's what it is, what you're doing when you speculate. It's a bet, and you can win big or you can lose big, right? But the thing is you still had your allocation set up that, you know, what you're going to contribute to your main accounts, right? Your index funds and what it is that you're saving up for retirement, right? What you're saving up for your own financial independence. You didn't take away from that. You decided, okay, if I want to speculate a little bit and put a little money into something that I'm going to bet on, this is money, you know, I'm going to not go out. I'm going to, you know, take away a little bit from this, a little bit from that. And you kind of reallocated your own personal funds, right, to use that money towards that. And I think that's super important for anyone who's listening right now, is that, you know, don't take away from whatever your current plan is. Like, if you have a really good plan to get yourself financially free and financially independent, and you decide you want to start, you know, playing around a little bit with some speculations and stuff, don't deviate from your original plan. If you have some extra cash to do that with, then sure. You know, but don't deviate from what it is that you're doing. Play it safe, which is exactly what Brandon here was doing. So I'm just glad to hear that you didn't take away from what you would normally contribute, you know, towards your financial independence goal, and that you took away from yourself. Like you went out less and things like that. So
funny story is that like 50% of the time when I did that, I looked at the opportunity cost, like, I could have gone out, and if I risk losing this money on a speculative bet, that would suck. So you know what? I'm going to dump this to the index funds that I would have done anyway. So like, it was a way to trick myself, because it's almost like 50% of the time, like I said, I just wouldn't make the speculative bet. And so I would end up contributing a bit more to those index funds. So it sort of was like a check for me that worked, because I know myself. So like, funny story, I used to gamble a bit. I used to play a lot of blackjack. And that's sort of what really got me. I know I talked about like getting into real estate investing and stuff, but like, if someone has ever gambled, I hope you're not gambling anymore, but if ever you gambled and you've lost a lot of money, or seen someone lost a lot of money, it changes your world once you could get out of it. And so like, I did that at a young age, and it didn't help that like I was quote unquote like winning. You do mental math all the time thinking you're winning, but you really don't. So maybe I was still losing. But I watched this guy lose like $50,000 in the space of 5 minutes. And I was like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I here on a Friday night with my buddies? This guy's losing 50 grand. And I'm like here trying to play $50 hands while buddies just lost his house. And that totally, totally woke me up. And wow. It just woke me up. I was like, this isn't making any sense. This is not sustainable. I got to invest in myself. I got to find a way to make income that's like through a business or through real estate. Like, it's just not sustainable. And so I don't often like to lead with it, but since we got into like what I do for, it sort of paints the picture as to why I do what I do. And it works for me, but that doesn't mean it'll work for someone else. But you got to know yourself too. And so once you know what triggers you to do things, if you could design processes that sort of act as circuit breakers to help you either stick to your plan or not deviate from your plan, you end up doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, what that sounds like to me is like you had a huge mindset shift, right? It was kind of like an aha moment when you saw that happen. I mean, I know if I'm sitting at a table next to someone, I just watched them lose 50 grand. I would start questioning, why the hell am I sitting here right now too? You know? But the funny thing is what you said, earlier before that, you were talking about how you were like, you know, some of this extra money that I set to the side for speculations, you know, I could have used that to go out, but so, you know what, I'm going to double down and put it in more of my index funds and ETFs. So it's funny because I have a play money account, right? That I use for speculations and things like that. And just as I was messing around with it, I wound up somehow like at the point now where pretty much everything in there is a dividend paying asset that is, you know, that stays pretty steady. And it's like no longer in speculation. So like there's maybe two stocks that I'm invested in right now that are speculations. And everything else is like a real estate investment trust or an index fund. And I'm like, this was supposed to be my play money. How did this happen? And, you know, I got to say, over the past year, it's up 30%. So I'm not going to complain about that.
You know what, though? It's easy. It was so easy in the past 12 months to be up 30%, right?
Like, right.
Like, why wouldn't you speculate? And so that's the other thing. It's like, would I have made that money in a normal year that wasn't a crash? Would it have been 30%? Would it have been more? Would it have been less? I find that interesting. But doesn't it feel good that when you make that sort of speculative bet and you sometimes you divest and you take profit, you put that back into index funds, and then you let the remainder just ride and yeah. see if it multiplies, well, right?
Let me clarify a little bit. So the 30% gain is on the safer stocks. There was some, I did go 100% in one stock, and I doubled my money. It was awesome. But I also really messed that one up because I pulled out because I doubled my money when I should have let it sit there. I even told myself, "Say I'm going to buy this one and hold it until it goes." I bought this particular stock at $2.02 a share. I bought about $4,000 worth. It doubled. I made a little over $8,000. Well, a little over $4,000 in profit. I cashed it out and put it in a REIT. And problem is, 3 months later, that same stock that I bought at $2.02 a share went up to $68 and change. That initial investment would have been worth $500,000. What I should have did was take that $4,000 out that I initially invested and put that back, right? I'm sorry, the it was $4,000 because it was 2,000 shares that I bought. But I should have taken that out and just let the rest sit because now I'm playing with house money, right? And even then, that would have been about $250,000. But I was like, oh, no, I doubled my money. I'm good. I'm happy. And I still kick myself in the butt for that. But at the same time, I really can't complain because I doubled my money.
You know what? And it's funny you say it because that's sort of what's happened with me a lot of times, right? Like for example, I don't know. You see, it's one thing when you find a company that's undervalued and you know it's undervalued and you buy it. And that was very easy when the COVID crash happened, right? Like pretty much everything was on sale. How do you know when it's the right time to sell your asset? And that to me is like a bigger problem. And that's what keeps me up at night for the speculative stuff. And so what I tell myself is when I invest in something, if I think it's undervalued, there's a desired rate of return that I expect to get and I'm happy in getting. Once I get it, I try not to look at the stock again because you always think woulda, shoulda, coulda, why didn't I? And basically, I feel good. Like you said, I feel good knowing that I get the return that I want to get. I dump my money back into my index funds and I go about with my day. And that stock, as far as I'm concerned, is dead to me. So yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. Funny story, right? So like I'm going to tie this back to passive a bit. So like So I invest primarily in index funds, but I do a lot of, when I say speculative stock picks, I should clarify, I mean like I buy individual stocks that I plan on holding for long term. And so Disney was one of them. So like I bought Disney a very long time ago and I held it. And the thing that there was, I was running into with passive is that passive was always trying to tell me to sell Disney when I was trying to do a full rebalance. And so I was like, geez, I wish I could just exclude Disney from my target portfolio because like I, even though I want to follow indexes, there's speculative stuff that I'm going to buy. And so my co-founder and I, we had this back and forth debate. He was like, oh no, you're not truly passive because you're holding Disney. And I'm like, really? Like, am I, what, am I not passive? I'm buying and I'm holding this thing. I just don't want to sell it. And so him and I had a debate. We didn't do anything. And then about a month later, a user sends us a really nasty email. Like, I love your platform, but it sucks. And here's why. You keep telling me to sell stock ABC because it's not part of my target and I don't want to sell it. And so basically that user is what tipped the scales over to my co-founder saying, like, you know what, Brendan, I think you're right. Maybe we should build this feature that lets users exclude their speculative stock picks from their target portfolios. And so what I love about passive is that I could follow my passive strategy, but I could also use it and not have it factor in all those speculative things that I also hold in my accounts as well, because I didn't want to open a separate account just for speculative stocks. I want to keep it in the same account. And so anyway, yeah, it's funny you say that, because what I've learned over these past years is that DIY investing is almost like a spectrum, and you start with indexes and or maybe even just savings and like giving your money to someone. And the full end of the spectrum might be like hardcore options, day trading. And the way I see passive is that we should help people get to that point of the spectrum where they're not doing active day trading and helping them just keep their portfolios balanced. And so anyway, that's sort of what we've learned in the past 4 years that we've been around, is that we've had to have really hard conversations about how we help people carry out their investing strategies, what strategies we will and will not support. And that's why passive does not support options. So if you're a user and you're holding a few options contracts, when you import your portfolio into passive, we exclude it right away. And it's not that we don't like options, it's just it goes against the ethos behind why we created passive. And so we exclude it. We allow users to exclude stocks. And so they could still use passive, just it wouldn't balance their options or factor it in.
Right on. And now the users can choose that, right? When they import their account, they can say, okay, I want this excluded and this excluded, and no issues there.
Yeah, exactly. And some assets are just excluded by default just because you can't easily trade them, like mutual funds, right? and warrants and that sort of stuff, we exclude automatically.
Okay, right on. Yeah. So there was this epic battle of the Brandons, and you had that one user come in, and guess what? Brandon won. Who would have thought that Brandon would have won that battle?
well, you know what? The funny story is that I think that's how you're supposed to do product development. I think at the end of the day, and from this same experience, that sort of stayed with us throughout these years, is that what we've learned is it doesn't matter what we think, it matters what users think and want. And right. So we need to listen to our users. And so that's sort of what we try to do with passive in terms of improvements. And every year we email users asking them for feedback, and we listen a lot. We are where we are today because of that focus on what users want. And I'm really happy to say that, you know, we are helping people build wealth and giving them that confidence, because let's face it, if you're just starting out, DIY investing could be a bit intimidating, because you've got to do that legwork to figure out what you're going to invest in, what your target asset allocation is going to be like. And then you sort of stumble into another problem you don't even know you're going to have, when you realize holy cow, I've got to use a spreadsheet to help me keep track of things and rebalance. Why am I doing this? And so that's what I love about passive, is that we're just making it easier for people to build and grow wealth on their own terms, using their money, carrying out their passive investing strategy.
Yeah, that's awesome. And the fact that, you take user feedback seriously enough to implement changes on, in your system. I know that's got to be a lot of hard work, especially when you have, everything, the code written out a certain way. Like when you build these programs, it's not easy to just go in there and change something like that. So to take user feedback and really, make significant changes to how you do things based off of that, shows how much you care about your clients and how you take care of them. So that's awesome, man. So you had mentioned earlier that you also invest in real estate. So what kind of real estate do you invest in?
I invest in REITs. My thesis was
that's still a real estate investment. A lot of people don't think about it like that, but it really is.
Yeah, and so it goes back to the comments I made earlier on. I thought buying an apartment building was the way to go. I could get someone to manage it, and I could live back home in Trinidad and live off of the income from it. But that's a lot of work versus buying a REIT and getting the payments from that REIT. So that's sort of what I decided to do.
Yeah. Well, the only thing though, so people listening understand, like if you buy a REIT, you're not getting any of the benefits of owning real estate. So like the tax write-offs and things.
Oh, no, you ain't getting that stuff.
But yeah, so I'm invested in a couple of REITs too, but yeah. So, okay, cool.
You're also not getting the hassle of chasing people for rent, paying for property management. if you sell your property, you're not paying, capital gains tax, depending on the account that you're holding your REIT in. Taxes, you got to pay taxes every year. Actually, taxes was a big drawback for me. So in Trinidad, we don't pay property taxes.
Really?
Yeah. So like I had this sort of notion that I could just live in Canada and like rent out my place. And then I realized, oh, geez, I've got to pay property taxes here in Canada. And they're pretty high. So yeah. Anyway, that's sort of those were the reasons why I chose REITs.
Okay. Yeah, right on. Good reasons. You know, everybody has their reason for why they invest the way they do, and they have their own strategy. The important thing is that whatever your strategy is, that you're doing something that works for you and it's something you're comfortable doing. Don't just get into something because you think that's what everybody else is doing. So that's kind of my take on like when you're DIY investors, you know. Figure out what makes you comfortable. If you want to follow other people's portfolios and stuff, if it's somebody that you trust and respect or whatever, and you want to do that, then by all means, go for it. It's your choice. But make sure you're the one actively making a decision on, you know, how you want to do it.
Yeah. That's also interesting too, because we've had users that said, hey, I want to share my portfolio with my friend. And so that sort of feedback is what led us to build our shareable portfolio. So right now in passive, you could build your tree fund ETF portfolio, or maybe it's a portfolio of 6 stocks or 20 stocks, whatever. And you could just share that with a friend. And if your friend wanted, they could sign up with passive and just replicate that portfolio and roll with it. Oh, I think an improvement to that, it's something that's on our roadmap, would actually be to follow along with your friend as they invest. So let's say, Mike, you shared your portfolio with me. Eventually, I would be able to almost like get updates when you change it or do things because we're friends. So the idea is not for this to be like a mass thing that everyone follows, but like I'm sure you've shared your investments with a few friends, like over a beer or dinner or something.
Yeah, or in a WhatsApp chat.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it? Like wouldn't you like to just be able to take an action and then your friends know about it and you don't have to go key it in and tell them, hey, I just bought game. Hopefully you didn't buy game, but yeah.
No, but I have friends and family members who did, but they got in very low. So my little brother did okay with it. I told him, I was like, you're not an investor just because of that. I was like, be careful. He did the same. You know, I have other friends and family members too, who bought like Dogecoin and stuff like that. And I was talking to them. They said, oh yeah, it dropped down in price. So I bought the dip. And I was like, your average cost before was 4 cents. What's your average cost now? He's like, oh, 16 cents. I'm like, and it's worth 32. I was like, so now you've only got a 50% gain where before you had a significantly higher gain. So I was like, you know, you really need to rethink your strategy on this.
You know what? And that sort of like, it goes back to like buying and holding for a long time. Like if you do your homework on a particular stock, right? You could still buy it and actually never sell it, right? Just hold it for a long time. And at some point it's going to appreciate if it's a good stock. That's sort of something that when I bought GameStop, that was in my mind, is that like, even though I'm buying this thing, I'm just going to hold it for a long time. So it doesn't matter. So yeah, but I say this and I don't regret it because I learned it. Some like in my instance, like what I should have done was not panic and sell. I sold it. Like I bought it at $300 a share, dropped down to like 40 for a couple weeks. And so when it stayed at 40, I was like, nah, I'm not going to sell it. And then when it rose back up to 200, I sold right away because I was like, I'll probably never get that money back right away. But we're talking about a few hundred dollars. We're not talking about like life savings or anything like that.
So. Right, right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that did that. Like they took their entire life savings and just dumped it in. And for the folks that got in too late, they lost it all. You know, it was pretty bad. You know, they got left holding the bag. And that's one of those things you got to be careful with. Like you don't want to take all your money and drop into a speculation like that, you know?
Well, I'll tell you something. My friend, he works on the Canadian equivalent of Wall Street. It's called Bay Street. And so I was asking him about the GameStop trade. And I was like, dude, what do you think of GameStop? And he said, Brendan, I'll share with you a story that I sort of had while working on Bay Street. And that was one day the markets were down. And so he ran into this trade and he said, hey, dude, the markets are down. Like, you guys must be taking a killing on losing your shirts on it. The trader turned to him and said, you know what, buddy? I don't care. The markets are up, I make money. The markets are down, I still make effing money. And he just walked off. And so what that said to me was that like the folks that are professionals that play these markets, they know what they're doing. So if a stock goes too high, they're just going to short it so that when it drops, you know, they take the other side of the bet. And so folks like us, like if you're not an investment professional, sometimes you don't know any better and you think like, yeah. I did. I thought GameStop was going to go up because of short interest and all that stuff.
But yep.
That was the thing that I did. Anyway, so if anyone's listening here, the key takeaway is don't speculate. Stick to your investment plan. If you are going to speculate, do it with money you can't afford to lose. And better yet, it shouldn't be money that was part of your contribution.
Yes. Yes. Because it is a gamble for sure. All right. Yeah. So, Brendan, do you have any last tips or tricks that you would recommend to somebody who's thinking about checking out passive?
Yeah. Visit our website at www.passive.com. On there, you'll see the list of brokers that we support. Right now, we support Interactive Brokers, TD Ameritrade, Alpaca. We're going to be supporting Ally Invest soon in the US. I assume most of the folks listening here are from the US. And so these are really great brokers that you can use passive with. And, you know, if you do sign up and you use passive, drop us a line. Let us know what you think, how we can help. We're always trying to improve passive, like I said, to the benefit of all. And feel free to follow us on Twitter. Our handle is Passive Team, or you can follow me at Brendan Lee Young. And yeah, love to connect, love to chat, and just feel free to reach out.
Awesome. Hey, so that was actually going to be the next question I was going to ask you too, is if you had a website and social media you could share, but we've got that all. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I have all of that in our show notes. So it's easier for the folks to, you know, just copy and paste it or click it and go check out Passive and what you guys are all about. Brendan, this has been a fun conversation. You know, we went a little more in depth to what Passive is, but we also talked about other things and your own personal story. It was a really fun story to listen to. Like you've really done a lot since you moved to Canada, and you're continuing to do a lot and do awesome things for both yourself and your clients that you help with Passive. I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed seeing what you guys are doing, what the team's doing, and even the conversation that we had about speculations and some other things. I mean, it was just a fun conversation. I really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, thanks so much. It's all good. And I'll say one last thing. This has to go to like, it's to deal with like ETFs and the future of wealth management. Mm-hmm. And basically, I think the future is going to be direct indexing on top of brokerages. Like, what if one day you can take your favorite index and strip away the companies or sectors that you don't believe in? Like, I think that's super interesting. What we're seeing is the emergence of Bitcoin and Ethereum seen as a new asset class. Like finance, wealth management, I think it's going to change in the next 10 years. And I'm just like really glad to be helping people invest in the things that they want to invest in and take control of their own financial future.
Key thing right there, taking control of their own financial future. So I love it. Again, man, this was an awesome conversation. And I really, truly appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today.
No problem. Nice catching up with you, Mike.
All right.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Average Joe Finances Podcast, your source for beating debt, saving money, and investing. Learn more at averagejoefinances.com.
The Average Joe Finances Podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only. Do not use this for any real estate or investment making decision.